Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Ayin Ches. We're already about almost halfway down the Daf with the brand new Mishnah, three lines into the wide lines. So we begin the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Amalof, again, if a husband says to his wife, he says, Kinsi Shtar Chovze, he gives her a get, but he doesn't tell her it's a get. He initially says, take this debt over here of a Shtar that says that a certain amount of money is owed you. So, Kinsi Shtar Chovze, take and accept this shtar chov. So he doesn't tell her that it's a get. Or he says to her, oh, shemitzoatu me'achorov. He turns and he basically assists her to go and take a shtar from his belt that's behind him. So she doesn't know that it's a get as well. So she thinks she's helping out with some document. And then when she takes it, she now has it in her possession. So technically he gave it to her since he assisted her in taking it from behind him. So it's as if he did give it to her. It's not a question of tol gitech, which is no good. So the Mishnah is telling us over here, if the get goes from his possession into her possession, that he gave it to her in some way, but she doesn't know that it's a get, when she reads it, Kara, Varei Gita, then she sees that it's a get, so ain't no get. That's not considered yet a valid get until he tells her, Ad Shiyoma Lo, hey Gitech, this is your get. Because in addition to the fact that he has to go and give her the get, it's the Tosus tells us in Dibur Rascal, ain't no get, Ad Shiyoma Lo, ha Gitech, at the very end of the Tosus, he says, she has to understand that she is now permitted to every single person in the world, but she's no longer with her husband. She has to understand that she's Mugureshes, because the Gemara of Yevamos tells us she has to understand that she no longer is with this man. She's now Muteres Kol Adam. She's a free woman to marry whoever she would like. However, she's no longer with this man. So therefore, in this situation, even though the husband gave it to her and the son, get biyada, so he gave it to her. However, he didn't fully fulfill this idea of mishalcha, and therefore he has to go and make sure that she's aware that it is a get. So that is what the Mishnah is telling us over here. What happens? Nosam biyada, if he put it in her hand, viyishena, but she's sleeping at that point in time. And then when she wakes up, niora, kora, she reads it, varei gita, and she sees that it's her get. So also, ain't no get, ad shiomalo ho gitech, until he tells her that this is your get. It is not considered a valid get. So she only realizes it, as Rashi says, kishi korobo roa shugita, only if she sees now that it's a get, in both the Reisha and the same for the Mishnah. So that's not adequate. She also needs to be told that it's a get. Now the Mefarshim discussed, does she have to be told by the husband? Could the husband just tell the witnesses? So there are many other details here that the Mishnah doesn't fully discuss, but the bottom line is that our Mishnah is telling us that it's not enough that she just gets the get into her possession, even in a halachically valid way, but in addition, she has to be aware that it's a get. Okay, the Gemara starts off and tells us, Ki Amar Lo, hey Gitech, my Havi. When he says to her, hey, this is your get, subsequently to after giving it to her as either a Shtar Chov or as some other document, so Havalei Tli Gitech, Me'al Gabi Karka. This is what I alluded to in the Mishnah. Why is this not a situation where it's as if she was told to go pick up her get from the floor, which is not a valid get, as we've already mentioned previously, and we see again now, the Amar Rava, Rava tells us, if the man says, Tli Gitech, Me'al Gabi Karka, go pick up your get from the floor, that doesn't accomplish V'nosam B'yodah, and therefore, Lo Amar Klum, it's as if he said nothing. In this situation, it's not a valid divorce. He has to give her the get. So, once he gives her this get, but she doesn't know it's a get, so now it's in her possession. Isn't that like Tli Gitech, Me'al Gabi Akarka, and it shouldn't be good? So the Gemara says, no, Ema Sheshalaftu Me'achorav. So the Gemara tells us what I alluded to again in the Mishnah as well, that he, in fact, pulled the get from his back, and therefore it wasn't taking it from the floor, it was taking it from him, which would be acceptable. Or says, no, that's not. Even Shalafto, also, Nami, Hobo, you know, Nasambi, Adov, Aleka. No, if she takes it from his hand, that's not the same as him giving it to her hand. And therefore, even if she takes it from him, so that's not a valid get. That's Tli Gitech, Me'al Gabi Karka, no different. So it says, you're right, Lo Tzricha, what happened is, as I mentioned in the Mishnah, Do'arak Lo Chartze Ushlafte. What he did was, he shifted his back towards her, as Rashi says, Okam Lo Moslav, he twisted his back towards her, Lahakriv Lo Haget, and this way he sort of made the get come to her, and therefore that satisfies the Nosan Biyada, and it's not Tli Gitech Me'al Gabi Akarka. The Gemara says Tanya Nami Hachi. The Braisa supports this. It's not a doyach like teretz. The Braisa says the exact same thing. If the man says to his wife, Oma lo kinsti shachov zeh, go and take the shtachov. We learned early in the Gemara that the husband might have been embarrassed for whatever the reason to tell his wife that this is a get. He's scared of her, he's embarrassed, whatever the reason. So he says, take this shtar chov, right? It's not a get, it's a shtar chov. Or he says, oh, shishilafto me'achorub. Well, if she took the get from behind him, it was like tucked into his belt. So then she reads it, kuratu vari hugita, and now she sees that this is a get. So we said, ain't no getting the brice as well. Like he said in our Mishnah, until he says hegitich. Dibri Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. And the opinion of Rebbe is totally consistent with our Mishnah. However, Rabbi Shimon Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Elazar omer la'olam eino get at shiit leheimena v'yachzor v'yitnenu lo v'yomer lo hegitech. No, he is concerned. Rabbi Shimon Elazar is concerned that this is not considered v'nosam b'yoda, and he has to take the get back from her and then go and re-give it to her again and say that this is your get. So Rabbi Shimon Elazar disagrees with Rebbe and disagrees with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is the opinion of Rebbe. Furthermore, the Braisa says, Nisana biyada v'yishena, again, paralleling the Mishnah, the Braisa says, if he put it into her hand while she was sleeping, and then when she wakes up, Neyor v'kar v'har yigita, hukita, she sees it's again, also, eno get, ad shem alo hegitech to be Rebbe. Again, Rebbe, exactly like the Tana of Mishnah, Rebbe is the Tana of Mishnah, and says that this is not a valid get yet, but all he has to do is say, ha'yigitech, and then it is a valid get. There's no problem of tli gitech mi'agabi karka. Whereas again, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, ad shiit lenu heimena, he has to go take it back from her, and v'yachzor v'yitnenu lo, and then re-give it to her, and then say v'yomer lo ha-gitech, and that fulfills that v'nasan biyada, and it's not tli gitech mi'al gabi karka. So we have, again, a reish and a sefer here in the Braisa, a parallel reish and sefer in the Mishnah, which shows us the machlokes between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Elazar, and the Gemara asks, why do we need both cases? Why couldn't we learn one from the other? Tell me one case, and I'll know the other. So what says Utrich? You need both cases, because the e it marhach behach komaisa. If you just told me the first case where it was a shtar chov, or she pulled it out from behind him, from like it stuck in between his belt, in that situation, if you only had that, I would have said bahahi. Only in that situation, koma Rebbe, does Rebbe say that it's adequate if he just says hagitech, and he doesn't have to re-give it to her again? Because mishum debas igrushehi, because she is capable of being divorced at that moment in time, because she's wide awake, she's fully alert. He could have given it to her hands, and therefore, when she gets it in this fashion, all he has to do is then add on hagitech. However, but in the case of the sleeping, the second case, avonosam biyodav hi yishena, so then technically the lav bas igrushehi, she's technically not a competent woman while she's sleeping. Nobody's a bardas while they're sleeping. So therefore, one might have argued that maybe Rebbe's molded to Rav Shimon Elazar in that situation. Ema modile Rav Shimon Elazar, that in that situation, he never effectively gave it to her, and he would have to go take it back, like Rav Shimon Elazar says, and re-give it to her again. Oh, so that's why you need to tell me the second case of Yeshena, the teachers that Rebbe holds even there. It's sufficient if he just says, hey, Gitech. Oh, so just tell me that case, the sleeping case, and then I'll know Rebbe's opinion, but then I won't know Shimon Elazar's opinion. If you only told me the case of the woman sleeping, you know what I would have said? Only in that situation, Baha, come Rav Shimon Elazar, because the woman was not competent at that time, and therefore she's lav bar bas igrushehi, and therefore, only in that situation, Shimon Elazar said you have to go re-give the get. But Taka, you know, in the first case, Abu Bahach, where it was the Shtar Chov, so in that situation, maybe says Taka, she's Bar Igrushe, and therefore, hey, Mamodi Leila Rebbe, I might have said that Shimon Elazar is actually molded to Rebbe in that situation. You don't have to take the get back, but you just have to say, hey, Gitech, and therefore, I wouldn't know that. Therefore, Tzricha. Therefore, both cases are necessary. The Reish and the Sefer, each is showing you the full strength of the respective Shitas of Rebbe and Shimon Elazar. More continues and says, Amar Rava. Rava says, Kosav lo get. If a man writes a get for his wife, Unisano biyat abda. We had this case yesterday. I mentioned this outside. If the man gives the get to his wife, Evet. So that's not called biyada because it's not mishtameris. But if he's yashen, if the slave is asleep, Umishmarto, and therefore she is watching him, as opposed to when he's awake, he has his own das, and she's not really watching him. He's watching himself. Therefore, that's not considered a get that is mishtameres, and therefore, only if he's yoshein and she's watching him, so zeh harei zeh get. That's considered putting it into her possession, into her chotzer, so to say, that it's mishtameres, and therefore it's a valid get. If he's awake, however, in New York, so that ain't no get, as I said, the habilei chotzer hamishtameres shelo ledata. He is watching himself. She can't be watching him, even though she is. He's watching himself. He has the right to do whatever he wants to do, so to say. And therefore, it's not considered mishtameres by her, and therefore, it's mishtameres shelo ledata, and therefore, it's not considered into her possession in a valid way. Our questions were of a statement. It says, really? Yashen umishmarto, that's enough. Harei zeget. Why am I? Chotzer mehalechasi. He has the potential to move about. And the din is that a chotzer mehalechas, something that's moving, the chotzer mehalechas lo kana. It can't acquire something for the person who owns that chotzer. So if you have something that is moving, so for example, you have an animal, so the animal has the potential to move. And if you put the get on the animal's back, that is not considered something that can acquire something for you. If you put anything on that animal's back, it will be able to acquire it to you. That's the Gemara above Metzia, where Rava brings this down. So therefore, why in this situation is the Eved, who is asleep, able to go and acquire for him, for the woman? Because he's a Chotzer Me'aleches, B'Chotzer Me'aleches Lokana. Ah, you can tell me he's asleep. Oh, when he's asleep, he's not a chotzer me'aleches. That's also not true. V'amar Rava, Rava said, kol she'ilu mahalech lo kana. Since it has the potential to move, omed v'yoshev lo kana. Even when it's standing still, when he's asleep, it still is halakhically considered as if it is moving. Kol she'ilu mahalech lo kana. If he did move, he wouldn't be able to go make the kinyan. So even omed v'yoshev, i.e. when he's sleeping over here, lo kana. So therefore, again, we have a problem. How could this Eved, who is asleep, and she is therefore watching him, and he's not considered mishtamer, shelo ledata, how can that Eved acquire her get on her behalf? So the Gemara says, in addition over here, v'hilcha, so you must have bekofus, that the Eved is tied up. Now, as Rashi says, sheino royal lahalech, in that situation, he's not capable of moving. So it's not considered, well, if you untied him. No, right now, he's tied up. He is not capable of moving. And therefore, Bahau, in that situation, Kama Rava, they have a get. Only in that situation did Rava, when it was Yashen Umishmarto, but also Yashen Bekofus Umishmarto, those are the conditions under which Rava said the Eved could go and be considered a valid extension of Yada to allow the woman to be considered divorced if it comes into the Eved's hand. Okay. Next Mishnah. Here we enter into a famous discussion of when is the woman considered to have the get in her possession. So she's standing now in Rishus HaRabim. So normally you can't make a kinyan in Rishus HaRabim unless it is within Dalit Amos of the person. Then either Midrabanan or possibly even Midaraisa, that is considered now in your possession. So she's standing in Rishus HaRabim. And her husband throws the get to her. It lands Karov Law, so then Migureshes. Now we'll have to define Karov Law. I already said one opinion is that it's within Dalet Amos of her. We'll see there are a number of different opinions in the Gemara. So if it lands within Dalet Amos of her, Karov Law, Migureshes, she's considered divorced because it's now in her possession. If it, however, is still Karov Law, it's still in his Dalet Amos, or as we'll see, close to him, or we'll see other definitions in the Gemara, so then Eino Migureshes, it never left his possession, and he hasn't given it the Nosam B'Yodah. It's still in his possession. If it's Matzah Matzah, which we'll have to define exactly what that means, it's half and half. It's still somewhat in his possession, still possibly in her possession. So then we have the worst of all worlds. Migoreshes, in some ways she's considered a divorced woman. So for example, if her husband was a Kohen, she wouldn't be allowed to go back and remarry her husband because a Kohen's not allowed to be Machzeh Grusha. So if, in fact, she had no children with her husband, she is considered Migoreshes, so she couldn't have Yibin with him. But on the other hand, the Eino Migoreshes, she is also considered not divorced. So she wouldn't be allowed to go and marry somebody else without Chalitza if they didn't have children. And she wouldn't yet be allowed to marry a regular person if she is not considered divorced. So she's still considered attached to her quote, ex-husband, because he's not really her ex-husband yet, is a suffix. Maybe she's still married and ain't a migureshes. So it's the worst of all scenarios. Migureshes, ain't a migureshes, and this matzal matzal, which the world will explain exactly what the scenario is. Now, that's the din by gittin. The Mishnah tells us, v'chein linyan kiddushin. The same exact din applies by kiddushin. So if the husband was makadesha in this public area, and he gives her the shtar of kiddushin, let's say, or he gives her the kess of kiddushin, and he tosses it to her, so if it's closer to her, she's married. If it's closer to him, he still hasn't given it to her, she's not married. And if it's, again, this metzal metzal situation, so then we have a suffix. Is she married? Is she not married? And again, it'll be the worst case scenario in each situation. She can't marry somebody else, but she's not yet fully married to him. Okay. And then she continues and tells us the same thing applies as well with the chov. V'chein in l'chov. Ruvein owes him money, and now he tosses it to him. So I'm a lo bal chovo. If Ruvein owes him money, and he tells him zerok l'chov, Shimon tells him, okay, throw me the chov. So Shimon says, throw me the chov, uzrakolo, and Ruvein throws it to him. So if it's korov l'malve, if it lands close to Shimon, who lent him the money, so then zoch ha'malve. So the malve gets the money, and the load is paid off. Now, if the money then gets lost, it's his problem. If a dog comes and eats the money, if the wind blows it away, it's the malve's problem, because it already came into his possession. However, if it's korov l'malve, if it never really left Ruvain's possession, it still is in Ruvain's possession, and then the money is blown away, a dog eats the money, so then he still owes the money. Halo v'chayev, he hasn't repaid his debt. And again, if it's matzal matzah here, we're not sure whether it did go to the malve, it stayed in the lover's possession, we're not sure. So then shneim yachloku, so then they split the loss, so to say, and so let's say it was a $100 debt. The Reuven owned Shimon, so he'll only have to pay him 50. Okay, Reuven's going to claim, I paid you the whole 100. Shimon's going to say, I got nothing. So each of them suffers half the loss, so to say. Reuven has to pay him another 50. Okay, now we start off with the Gemara, and the Gemara says, what exactly are the definitions of Karov Law, Karov Lo? Hechidami Karov Law, Hechidami Karov Lo. So the first teretz that we give is from Rav. I'm a Rav. Arba Amos Shalah, if it falls within Dalet Amos of her, Zehu Karov Law. That is considered close to her, and that she got it. If it's Arba Amos Shalo, if it's still within the Dalet Amos of the man, so then Zehu Karov Lo. That's called, it's still within his possession, he never gave it to her. Okay. Mar says now, Hechidami Me'atza Me'atza. Okay, that's Karov Lo. Karov Lo, it's very good. What is the case of 50-50? So, Amr Rav Shmuel by Rav Yitzchak, this is talking about Kigon Shayu Shnehem Omdim Bi Arba Amos, that they're both standing within Dalet Amos of this get, and therefore each one is saying that it is within their possession, so to say. So the husband, it's still within his possession, he never gave it to the wife, but the wife says, no, it's in my possession, so therefore it came to me. So that's the mechza mechza case, migureshes v'ena migureshes, the worst of all worlds. Where it says, well, that's not really a valid scenario. The last say, go and see, hey, minayu kodim, who was there first? Whoever was there first was kona the get. So if the husband was there first, he never gave up the get. If the wife was there first, then she was kona the get. The fact that the other person is now also within the Dalet Amos should be irrelevant. You're going to tell me, the chitemo, the asu, tavayu, bahadi, adadi, they came there at the exact same time, that's extremely unlikely. Boy, actually, A, don't think that that's possible or likely, but even if it was, we can't go and figure it out exactly, but Simpson, which one came first? And therefore, that wouldn't be a case of mechza mechza, that would be a case of, we don't know. Mechza mechza implies that it's half his and half hers. So, that wouldn't be the case. And therefore, El Omer of Kahani, you know what the case of mechza mechza is? We're dealing here, hocha beches amos mitzum tzomos askinan. We're dealing over here with, there are 8 amos between the husband and the wife, and he throws her the get, and it lands exactly at the midway point, 4 amos from him. It's distance of 4 amos from him, but it's also a distance of 4 amos from her. So Rav Kahana says, that's what we're dealing with over here. There's 8 amos between them, and he throws it exactly 4 amos from him and 4 amos from her. And we turn to Ayin Chesom Beis, the get Yotze, me arba amos shlo, le dalet amos shlo. It left his dalet amos and goes to her dalet amos. Where it says, but then it never really left his dalet amos. Va'ogid gabei. As Rashi says, adayin haget birishu so kitzas. It never really left his dalet amos. V'anan, and we require the nosan biyodo b'inon, so this can't be a case of mechza mechza. It's still within his possession. Granted, it's gotten closer to her possession, maybe even partially in her possession, but it's still partially in his possession if it's exactly 8 amos, and it's now 4 amos away from him, 4 amos away from her, so it hasn't fully left him. For Ogid Gabay, it's still attached to him, and therefore it shouldn't be a valid get. So Gemara says, you're right. Rav Kahana's explanation is not correct. Elo Rabba, the Rav Yosef, Dami Tavai, both Rabba and Yosef say this is the situation of Mechza Mechza. Hocha b'shtei kitei edim askina. We're dealing with 2 sets of witnesses. You have the husband throwing the get to his wife. Now, did it go within her Dalet Amos, or is it still within his Dalet Amos? So Reuven and Shimon, the first set of witnesses, say, oh, it was definitely within the Dalet Amos of the wife, and therefore she's divorced. And Levi and Yehuda come along and say, no, it was still within the Dalet Amos of the husband, and she's not divorced. So you have over here, Shtei Kita E Demaskino, and Achas Omer's Korov Lo, V'Achas Omer's Korov Lo. That's the case of Mechza Mechza. And therefore, in this situation, she's Megureshes, V'Ena Megureshes. That's a good teretz, Rabba v'Rav Yosef. We have another good teretz, Rav Yochanan Omar. Rav Yochanan says, Karov lo shaninu afilu mea ama. When we say it's near her, it's all relative. It's nearer to her than to him. So they're standing a few hundred feet apart from each other. And he throws it to her. So it's still 100 ama away from her, but it's further from him, and it's closer to her. So it's all relative. Rav Yochanan says, when we say it's karov lo, it could even be shaninu afilu mea ama, but it's closer to her than to him. And when it's karov lo, it could still be 100 ama from him. He threw it quite a bit, shaninu afilu mea ama, but it's still closer to him than it's to her. And that's how you define karov lo, according to Rav Yochanan. And what's the case of mechza mechza? Hechidam mechza mechza. So Arav Hashem and Bar Abba. Rav Hashem and Bar Abba says, Lididi mifarsha lo minei d'Rav Yochanan. I myself heard the answer from Yochanan, what he considers mechza mechza. It's the following. Hu yocho lishomro, v'hi eino yocho lishomro. Zehu korov lo. The full understanding is that he is able to go and protect the get. And it's within his domain, so to say, of protection. But she is not able to go and get the get and watch it. So that's the definition of karov lo. Even though, in this situation, it might actually be closer to her. Let's say she is 10 feet away from the get. He's 20 feet away from the get. But the way the circumstances are, is she cannot go and get that get and protect it. A dog could eat it, the wind could blow it away. Whereas he, even though he's further away from it, has the ability to go. There's no obstruction, let's say, in his way. She would have to go and get across a ditch. So it's 10 feet away from her, but she can't get across this ditch. So therefore, it's not considered mishtameris by her, even though she's closer to it. Whereas he's 20 feet away from it, but he can go and easily grab it. So in that situation, it's called karov lo, according to the understanding that Rav Shem and Bar Abba said from Rav Yochanan. Zeh karov lo. And if he yichol l'shomro, she could go get it. It's 20 feet from her, but she doesn't have a ditch. V'hu en yichol l'shomro, but it's 10 feet from him, but he does have the ditch, and he can't go and get it. And that's the definition of zeh karov lo. It's closer to her, even though it physically is closer to the husband, but she's able to be mishtameris, and he is not able to be mishtamer the get. So therefore, that is the definition of karov lo, karov lo. And what's mechza mechza? Shneiem yicholim l'shomro. Both of them could go and get it. Or shneiem ein yichol, or both of them cannot go and get it. So it left the husband, but it's not clear if it came to the wife. So zeh mechza mechza. So in that situation, that is the case of mechza mechza, megureshes v'ein megureshes, the worst of all worlds. That is Rav Shemin Bar Abba's understanding that Rav Yochanan explained to himself of the mechza mechza case. Now, Amruah Rabbanon, Kamed Rav Yochanan, the other rabbis came in front of Rav Yochanan and told him, in the name of Rav Yonason, Mishmei Rav Yonason Hachi, the exact same interpretation was said independently by Rav Yonason, exactly what Rav Yochanan himself had said, they told over to Rav Yochanan in the name of Rav Yonason. Rav Yonason originally was from Bavel, and he then came to Eretz Yisrael, and he learned with Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan heard this, and he said, oh, Omar, Yodin Chavrin Bavloi, my Babylonian friend, Rav Yonah's son, he certainly knows Lefrushe Ki Haitama. He certainly knows to explain this case in the right way. In other words, he explained it exactly the way Rav Yochanan said it. Therefore, Rav Yochanan was very happy with Rav Yonah's son's explanation of the scenario of Mechza al Mechza. Okay. Gemara continues and says, Tani Nami Yochi. We have a Braisa that supports exactly what Rav Yonason just said and what Rav Yochanan had said. What is the Braisa? The Braisa states, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the Tana Rabbi Eliezer says, Goshu Karov Lo Milo, if it's closer to her than to him, and then Uba Kelev Unatolo. But a Kelev took it before she actually physically picked it up, so then ain't no Migureshus. She's not considered Migureshus. Wait a second. If it's closer to her and it's Mishtameres, so then why isn't she divorced? So the more questions is, it says, really? Eina migureshes? In this case, she's not migureshes? Wait a second. Kol hechi tintere v'seizil. Does the get, once it comes into possession, she has to watch it forever? Tintere, she has to watch it continuously, v'seizil, for the rest of her life? If that get ever gets eaten up, she's ice divorced? She goes back to being a married woman? That's crazy. So once it came into her possession, kol shu korov lo milo, so then she acquired the get. So what difference does it make if a kelev comes and goes and takes it and eats it, and now it's not there in the world? Why would she not be megureshes in that situation? So the Gemara says, You know why you have to understand this brisa? Ella lav hachi kamer. This is what the brisa is telling us. Kol shekarov lo milo. If it's closer to her than to him, which by definition means the ilu bo kelev unitalo v'hu yachol l'shamro v'hi eina yachol l'shamro. So even though it's closer to her physically, but she can't protect it. Let's say, like I said, there's a ditch there, and she can't get it, and the dog will just go and take it and eat it. But the husband has no ditch, so it's 20 feet from the husband, only 10 feet from the wife, but she can't get to it. And the kelev would be able to take it without her being able to protect the get. Whereas the husband, albeit he's 20 feet away, could easily shoo away the dog and go get the get, because there's no ditch on his side. So the ilu bo kelev natalo v'hu yachol l'shamro v'hi eni yachol l'shamro. So even though he is further away, but he's able to go and protect the get, and she is closer to it, but she's not able to protect the get in that situation. It's not called going into a possession, and eino migoreshes. Oh, exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, exactly what Rabbi Yonason said. The Brice is Tanya Nami Hochi. The Brice supports their opinions. Now, Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Lemaisa, even with all the things that we just said, one should be very careful to make sure of Nasan Biyada, that you actually go give the get into her hands. Even under all of these scenarios we said, it would be a valid get. He says, Lemaisa, go and give the get into the wife's hand. Shinina. Shmuel always calls Rav Yehuda Shinina. Usually the simple understanding is that it means very, very sharp one. There is one other interpretation that said he had long teeth, and that's why he called him Shinina, but that's a derogatory type of a statement, and therefore it's certainly much, much more appropriate to understand this as he's calling him, you sharp one, Shinina. You have such a sharp Talmud Chacham. Kideisha Tashuach V'sitlenu. When the Mishnah tells us that they should be karov law, it means that she should be able to just bend down and pick it up. It's really, really close to her. The only thing it's lacking is basically her just picking it up. And nevertheless, even though that's what it means, va'at, when you go and halacha l'maisa, go and want to paskin a case, lo tavid uvda adamote gito liyoda. Don't go and allow the woman to be considered divorced until she actually picks it up with her hand. So the get has to actually reach her hand. It has to be given, v'nosam biyoda, and even though technically all of these scenarios are technically v'nosam biyoda, the best way to get around any problems is to have the husband give it actually into her hand. Don't go and allow a get to be given in any other way than the husband giving into the hand of the wife. Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi. Rav Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, Hava Ovda, that once was such a maisa, in fact, Hava Ovda Hachi, v'atzuchuha chalitza, when the husband threw the get to the wife, but it didn't actually get picked up, even though it was very close to her, that she could just be Toshuach v'sitlenu, and yet, in this situation, they were machmir, and they said, no, she's not considered fully divorced, don't let her go be married to any man she wants until she undergoes chalitza. They obviously wouldn't allow Yibam, because she was certainly halachically divorced, so they wouldn't allow Yibam, but since to strengthen this idea, that it has to really be the Nosan Biyada, and not to allow any of these other halachically valid acquisitions on her part to be allowed because they could lead to too many takalos. So the rabbi said, in fact, go and make her get chalitza to show everybody that really it has to be given directly into her hand in order to get around any questions or problems. Okay, then we go vayta, we quote the Mishnah, v'chein l'inyan kedusha. We said not only did this din of the karov lo, mechza apply by gittin, the same exact din applies by kedushin. Amar vatsi, Rav Yochanan. Rav Vatsi said, name Rav Yochanan. Legitin Amru v'lo l'davar acher. Rav Asi said in the name of Rav Yochanan that this din of Karov Lo, Mechza Mechza is only a din by Gittin. It doesn't apply to something else. V'lo l'davar acher. Now, the Gemara's questions, wait a second. How could Rav Asi say this in the name of Rav Yochanan? Asi, Rav Abba said to Rav Asi, did Rav Yochanan really say this? Our Mishnah said otherwise. V'chein l'inyan kedushin. As great as Rav Yochanan is, he's an Amora. He doesn't argue with a Mishnah. So therefore, our Mishnah said, V'chein le'inyan kiddushin. How can you, Rav Asi, say in the name of Rav Yochanan, that it only applies to Gittin and not something else? So the Gemara says, no. When I said that it only applies to Gittin, I meant anything that's like Gittin. Shiny Hossam, Kiddushin is like Gittin, Dirsiv, Yotza, V'haisa, because we have a Hekish. When a woman leaves one person and goes then to marry another person, so she was divorced to one person, and then she gets married to another person, so we have a Hekish between Gerishin, V'yotza, and Kiddushin, V'haisa. And therefore, yes, when I said this din applies to Gittin, karvla, metzah, it also applies to Kiddushin. So I'm not saying anything different than what the Mishnah said, v'chein le'inyan Kiddushin. So I'm not disagreeing with the Mishnah. Where it says, okay, but you're saying it doesn't apply l'dover acher. Still, Eisve, Rabbi Abba said to Ravasi, v'chein le'inyan achov. Mishnah said, it does apply even to achov. So here you don't have a hekish between Gerishin and Kiddushin, and yet our Mishnah said it applies to achov. Zrok li chovi uzrokolo. If Shimon tells Reuven, hey, I lent you $100, throw me the $100 and we're good. And in that situation, if it's karov low, if it reaches Shimon's closer to Shimon, so then the debt's repaid. If it didn't, then it hasn't been repaid. And in the case where we're not sure, so then they split the loss. So in this situation, karov lamalva zoch halova, karov lova halova chayiv. If it's close to Shimon the malva, so then the lova gave him the money and doesn't have to pay it again. If it was still Karov Lalova, it didn't really get to the possession of Shimon. It stayed within the possession of Reuven and it gets lost. So then Reuven has to pay him again. And if it's Machsal Mefsa, Shtem Yachoku. If we're not sure, so then they split the loss. As I said, it was $100. So Reuven still has to give him another 50. So here you clearly see from our Mishnah that it applies also to Linyan Chov. How can you say it only applies to Gittin? Oh, you tell me the Gittin also includes Kedushin. Fine, because in the heck is Yotzev Haisa, but it doesn't include a Chov. So how could Rav Asi say in the name of Rav Yochanan that it only applies to Gittin and maybe Kedushin, but not to a Chov? The Mishnah says it applies specifically to a Chov. So the Gemara says, Rav Asi would answer in the name of Rav Yochanan, Hoch Mayaskin, what are we talking about? The Amar Lei Zrok Lichovi V'Sipater. Because when Shimon said, throw me the $100, throw me the debt that you owe me, and you will be Potter in that situation, so here, it also will apply because he specifically stated that you will not have to pay me if it comes into my possession. And Tosus explains it has to be into his possession that's able to protect it. He can't just throw it and it gets blown away right away. So once it comes into the area where Shimon can go and protect it, so then the debt is paid off because he specifically said, Viti Pater, once it reaches my possession, then you won't have to go and repay me again. It's considered paid off. But without that, so then you're right. When Rav Asi said in the name of Yochanan that it applies to Gittin and also Kedushin because of the Hekish of Yotzev Haisa, it only applies to those two, v'lo l'dov achiv. It wouldn't apply to a Chov. And our Mishnah is talking about specifically where it was, he said, v'sipater. And that's why our Mishnah also says v'chein l'inyan achov, but only because he said v'sipater. Mar says then, what's the chiddush? Iyachi, my lemeimra, isn't it obvious that if it comes into the guy's possession, so the debt is repaid? Why do I need a Mishnah to tell me that? So why did it say v'chein le'inyan chov? It's not v'chein le'inyan chov. It's because he said specifically that you are now, if you give it to me in my possession, even though I don't physically have it, but it's able to be watched by me, it's considered paid off. That's obvious. There's no chiddush over there. So he says, no, there is a chiddush. Lo tzricha, the chiddush is the amalei zrok li chovi v'toras gittin. Throw me the debt that you owe me in the similar way that if you were to throw a get, it would work. So to over here, I'll allow it to work. So that's the chiddush. Even though he didn't say tipater, but he said it should be like the dinim of gittin, that would work. Just again, by kati, my lemeimer. So again, since he said that, it's no different than saying tipater. So why, again, is there a chiddush in our Mishnah to say this? What difference does it make if he says tipater or he says b'toras gittin and the laws of gittin apply over here and therefore it is considered as if it's in my possession as long as it's mishtamer and I don't have to physically have it in my possession that it's a valid payment of the debt. So again, that's obvious. So he says, no, it's not obvious. Because he said, Bitoras Gittin, maybe he was just joking. Mal the Tami, you might have thought, Motzi Omele, Shimon could say to Ruve, the Malva could say to the Lova, Hey, Mishatani Bach. I was joking. What do you mean, like a get? So I wasn't meaning that it's really considered mine if I can protect it. No, you have to still give it to me because it never reached my physical hand. And therefore, since you could have thought that if he says Mishatani Bach, that would be a valid response by Shimon the Malveh, and in fact, Reuven the Lover would still have to pay him, Kamashullah, no. When he says Zrok Lichovi B'Toras Gittin, that is if he said Tipater, and therefore, once it comes into a protected area of Shimon, it in fact is considered in Shimon's possession, even though he didn't physically pick it up. Marketing says, Amar Chissa says, Get Biyado Umeshicha Biyado. The man gives the get to his wife, and it's in the wife's possession, but it's attached to a string, so he can still pull it back from her. So, im yochol natko, if the string is strongly enough attached to the get, that if he pulls on the string, that ulavia etzlo, it would leave her hand, and it would come into his possession. Not that she's grabbing onto it, but she has it in her hand, so it's in her possession, but it's still attached to the string, and if the husband pulls on the string, it would leave her hand, and it would come back to him, so then that's not called Megureshes. So that's Eino Megureshes. She's not divorced because it never left its possession. However, if you were to pull on the string and it's in her hand and it's not strongly enough attached, so the string would break and the get would stay in her hand, V'imlav Megureshes. So then, if the attachment of the string to the get is not strong enough that he could pull it back, so then she is considered divorced. Why? My timer. Because ba'inon krisus v'leka. When the husband gives the get to the wife, it has to be a total severance of their relationship. And here, since he can pull the get back, it's not considered a krisus. And therefore, as long as the husband still controls the get, that he could pull it back, it's not considered a valid divorce. It's still considered as if it's in his possession. Mark continues and says, Amar Yehuda, ha'isa yada asuya kikatafras. What does this mean over here? Instead of her hand, let's say you put something in somebody's hand, if the hand is perfectly parallel to the ground, so then it will stay in the hand. But if the hand is tilted, if the hand is sloping down, so you put something in the person's hand, it will roll off the hand and then go onto the ground. So that's called the katafras. Katafras is like a slope that if you put something on it, it will roll down the slope. So if her hand is sloped, in other words, if you put it in her palm of her hand, it will roll off her fingers and fall on the ground. So Rav Yehuda says, if you give a get to such a woman into her hands like that, uzrakola, so you toss it into this hand in that fashion, then it could roll off her hand. So even though it landed on her hand, avogav shegig et liyada, it landed in the palm of her hand. But since it's on a slope, if she doesn't grab it, if she grabs it, then it's in her possession. But if she doesn't grab it, so then it rolls right off her hand. So then ainam agreshes. That's not called that it was acquired by her. More questions? This is why not? Am I? Even when it falls off her hand, ha ki nafil v'arba amos dida kanafil, it will fall off her hand, but it will land within dalet amos of her. It's not being sent off her hand with any force. It's just going to slide off her hand on the angle, the slope that her hand is on, and it'll fall down by your feet, and therefore still be within dalet amos of her. So why is she not considered divorced in that situation? So that's what the answer of Yehuda. Review the response. He says below noch, because it never lands on the ground. A dog ate it. When it fell off her hand, or a fire came, a wind blew it away, whatever, and it never landed on the ground. Delo noch. So therefore, if it never landed within her dalet amos, that's why when it's her hand is sloped like a katafras, so then it never came into her possession. Or it says, even if it doesn't land, v'tigaresh me'avira di arba amos, it's still falling, albeit it never landed, within her dalet amos. So the avir of her dalet amos should acquire it for her. And since it doesn't, since you're saying in this situation, animal gereshes, this can answer the question, does the avir of a person's dalet amos acquire for them? So tisho debai Rabbi Elazar. So, does the dalet amos of a person, does the airspace of those dalet amos apply to acquire something for them or not? So that was the question that Rabbi Elazar had asked. So we should be able to answer from here. You see that if lo noch, it is not considered that she acquired it. So therefore, the answer is avir dalet amos of a person does not acquire something for them. Tisho de ein lahem avir. So we can ask the question and answer Rabbi Elazar's question. So what is it? No. You know what we're dealing with? Over here, Chochma Yaskinan Ba'omenes Hagabi Yanar. She's standing right by a river. And therefore, the Mi'ikara, very start, if it rolls off her hand, her hand's on this angle, and it's never going to land on the ground, it's going to go straight into the river and get pulled down by the river, downstream, and lost. So, the Mi'ikara Li'ibudkoi, it never had a chance to land on the ground. If it doesn't have a chance to land on the ground, then that's not the question of Rabbi Elazar. Everybody agrees then that the dalet amos of the air don't acquire anything for you because it never would have landed. The question that Rabbi Elazar asks is if it does have the potential to land, there is hard ground underneath there, and it only was in the dalet amos of the avir, but not on the ground, and then a fire came, a wind came, and blew it away, a dog came and ate it before it landed on the ground. In that situation, that's where Rabbi Elazar asks this question, Arba Amos Sha'amru, Yesh Lam Avir, O Ein Lahem Avir. And that can't be answered from our case over here, because our case over here, it was Li'ibud Koi, it never had the potential to land, and therefore you can't use that to go and answer Rabbi Elazar's question. This is a good break point, and with this we conclude today's share.